Okay, we're going to begin. I'm going to welcome everyone who is here, and I want to tell you why I decided to do this sugya today specifically. Again, for those involved in NCSY who are here, welcome. For those Mevaserek guys, welcome as well. And I wanted to choose a topic that would be what I call Shavu L'chol Nefesh, that would be relevant to everyone. It's a sugya that is uniquely but tangentially relevant to Chag HaShavuos as well. We'll read on the Aseres HaDibros. We read the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos, whether in shul or not. We should definitely be going through the Aseres HaDibros. And the fifth dibra is Kabeiros Avicha Ve'Esimecha. And it's crystal clear that there's a mitzvah, actually a dual mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kabeiros Avicha Ve'Esimecha is a mitzvah of kavod that you have to our parents. And then we have a mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim, Ish Imo Ve'Aviv Tiro'u, a mitzvah of Yira as well. And what I wanted to address today and discuss today is, okay, good. You have a mitzvah of kibud avim to your parents. What about a mitzvah of kibud av to grandparents? Now, if I were to scan kol ha-Torah kula, and I want to just see if there is a mitzvah of kibud avim to grandparents, I do not think I will find anywhere a mitzvah of kibud avim to grandparents. You will not find it explicit in the Chumash anywhere. And the question then is, intuitively, it feels like there should be a mitzvah of kibud avim to grandparents, but is there actually a mitzvah? Is there any source? Is there any pasuk that would reveal such a din? And I think what's really interesting over here is that we're going to look at a sugya in Makos, which has nothing to do with kibud avim on its face, has nothing to do. It's a Goel Hadam sugya, but from that sugya, we can go ahead and perhaps reap and see some striking things when it comes to the mitzvah of kibud avim. So we will begin. We're going to take a look. Again, I haven't printed out the sources, but I'm going to be using the Gemara, and then you'll feel free to chime in if you have any questions, comments, or ideas. I'm all ears, but we're going to do this together in a methodical, slow fashion, and it'll take us about 44 minutes. That's our agenda, so hang tight. So we have a Gemara. The Gemara is found in Daf Yud Beis Mit Aleph Maseches Makos, and the Gemara teaches us crystal clear. We know that if a person kills b'shogeg, if a person murders someone accidentally, inadvertently, so the halacha is that the relative of the deceased, the relative of the victim, is allowed to avenge his blood. That's the Goel Hadam. And the Rotzeach, the killer, goes to the Yermiklat, but if he steps out of the Yermiklat, then the relative, the Goel Hadam, is allowed to go ahead and kill the Rotzeach, kill the killer, kill the murderer. So the Gemara Yud Beis Min Aleph in Maseches Makos has the following striking contradiction. Tani Chada, one brisa says, Av Shaharag B'no Nasal HaGoel Hadam. One brisa says a son is allowed to be a Goel Hadam against his own father. V'tanya Idach, and a second brisa says, Ein B'no Nasal HaGoel Hadam. A son is not allowed to be a Goel Hadam against his own father, and that's a contradiction. One brisa says yes, another brisa says no. The Gemara has a discussion back and forth. Let's just skip to the end, and the Gemara concludes, Lo Kasha. No difficulty. There's no contradiction. Habibno, habibenbino. One case is talking about a son, and one case is talking about a grandson. That is a cryptic statement, and it needs elucidation. Rashi is going to give us one element of elucidation, and Rashi is going to give us one pshat. We take a look at Rashi. And Rashi writes on the spot, Yud Beis Amit Aleph, Dibra Hamaskel, Ela Lo Kasha, Habibno, Habibenbino. Haditanya ein b'no nasa lo goel adam. The brisa that says that a son cannot be a goel adam is talking about bibno shel rotzeach. It's talking about the son of the rotzeach, the son of the murderer. I'll explain this in a second. The haditanya b'no nasa lo goel adam, the brisa that says a son can be a goel adam, is referring to b'no shel horug ka'amar, shu ben b'no shel rotzeach. And he ends up being the grandson of the Rotzeach. I'm going to share my screen to illustrate this. So if you take a look over here on the shared screen, you'll notice with a little family. And we have Esav is the grandfather. He's got two sons, Eliphaz and Reuel, and a grandson named Teman, who's Eliphaz's son. So Rashi essentially says as follows. When the Brisa says a son can be a Goel Adam or a son cannot be a Goel Adam, the son that can be a Gol Adam is referring to the son of the victim. So that if Esav kills Eliphaz, so Esav kills his own son, then a son of who? A son of the victim can be the Gol Adam. So Teman would be allowed to kill Esav. However, if Esav kills, let's say, Eliphaz, then Reuel could not be a Gol Adam. So if Esav kills Eliphaz, one more time. So Rosh Rashi say, if Esav kills Eliphaz, Teman the grandson can be a Gol Adam. If Esav kills Eliphaz, let's say there is no Teman here. Esav kills Eliphaz, Eliphaz does not have a son, then Eliphaz's brother Reuel cannot kill Esav. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. And Rashi throws in three extra words. Why is this the case? Because the ben beno shel rotzeach, the grandson, eino muzhar al kvodo. He doesn't have a mitzvah of kavod. And that is an amazing, amazing comment. Rashi says, and if someone asks you, is there a mitzvah of kibud avim to grandparents? You can point to Rashi, Makos, Dav Yud Beis, and Rashi seems to say, Eino Muzar al Kvodo, a grandson is not commanded on Kibud Avim to his grandfather, and that's why Teman, if his father Eliphaz was killed by Esav, Teman can take out his grandfather Esav. That is the conclusion of Rashi. According to Rashi, what is the axis upon which the sugya revolves? The axis upon which this Gemara revolves is Kibud Avim. If Esav, listen carefully, remember my chart. If Esav killed Reuel, can Eliphaz kill his father as Gol Adam? The answer is no. Why? Kibud Avim trumps Gol Adam. If Esav, however, killed Eliphaz, can Teman kill his grandfather Esav? The answer is yes. Why? Because there's no mitzvah of Kibud Avim to grandparents. I do not want you to leave this shiur right now, because that will create a very bad look. But it sounds from Rashi that there's no mitzvah of Kibud Avim to grandparents, and I exhort you, in all languages of exhortation, please, please, please have kavod to your grandparents. But we stop there. That's point number one. That seems to be Rashi's position. There is no Kibud Av to grandparents. Let us now move to Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel has a different approach. I'm going to do it relatively quickly, but I want you to see crystal clear that Rabbeinu Chananel does not learn like Rashi. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, it's in the very, very fine print. I'll actually say it outside. Says Rabbeinu Chananel that if Esav, our grandfather, I'm going to share the screen again. If Esav, our grandfather, kills Teman, his grandson, so when the Brisa says Ben Beno, he kills his grandson, can Eliphaz be a Gol Adam to kill Esav? The answer is yes, absolutely. However, if Esav were to kill Reuel, then Eliphaz cannot be a Gol Adam. In other words, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, can a son ever be a Gol Adam against his own father? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. If Esav kills Teman, then Eliphaz can kill Esav. If Esav killed Reuel, then Eliphaz cannot kill Esav. What would you say, if I were asking the question, feel free to participate. Raise your hand and answer. If I were to ask you the question, According to Rashi, is there a mitzvah of Kibud Avim to grandparents? Presumably not. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, Makos Dav Yud Beis and Aleph, is there a mitzvah of Kibud Avim to grandparents? Yes or no? Okay, I saw someone raise his shoulders. That's the correct answer. No clue. Why no clue? Because according to Rabbeinu Chananel, this sugya has nothing to do with Kibud Avim to grandparents. It's not the topic. It's being driven by something entirely different. The axis upon which this sugya revolves is something entirely different. What is the axis upon which the sugya revolves, according to Rabbeinu Chanan. Feel free to chime in. Interactive.
Who was killed?
What?
Who was killed?
Who was killed? I'm going to try and jazz that up just a little bit. What is the relationship between the nirtzach, the neherag, the person who was killed, and the goel hadam? What is their relationship? How tight is their relationship? So what did Rabbeinu Chananel say? When Esav killed his grandson Teman, can Eliphaz kill his own father? The answer is yes. Why? Because what's their relation? How close is their relationship? A father-son relationship apparently is quite close, and that allows even Eliphaz to kill his own father. However, if Esav killed Reuel, and now we're talking about Eliphaz as a brother relationship, so that relationship perhaps is not as tight as a father-son relationship, and that would not warrant or allow Eliphaz to kill Esav. Is that clear? So what I want to walk away from Makos with right now is the following, just bottom line. Number one, according to Rashi, the simple understanding of the Gemara is no kibud avim to grandparents, yes kibud avim to parents, and that's what the sugya revolves around. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, the sugya revolves around something entirely different. It revolves around the issue of whether there is a mitzvah, whether the relationship between the goel adam and the nirtzach has nothing to do at all with kibud avim to parents, grandparents, irrelevant to that discussion. Okay? I'm going to just give you one quick, short exam. We're going to learn a Rambam, and I'm going to ask everyone here to just tell me if the Rambam learns like Rabbeinu Chananel or like Rashi. Very simple question. Two choices, A or B. Okay? No C's. Okay? We're going to open up. I'm going to share the screen to learn with you the Rambam. Okay? Here we have a shared screen, Rambam. Okay, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. And just to give you a sense where we're going, we're gonna start the next 5-10 minutes. We're in the Makos angle this year, and then we're gonna expand out to the Kibud Avim to grandparents piece, but it's all interrelated. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Kol Ahoreg Nefesh Adam Yisrael Over Belo Taseh. You can't murder, of course, Lo Sirtzach. Vimrotzach bezadon, if you killed on purpose, so you're chayiv misa besayif, with a sword. And bein shahara chaver bebaris, it doesn't matter how you killed, your punishment is saif, is by the sword. That's halacha al. Halacha beis. The Rambam paskins mitzvah biyad goel hadam. There's a mitzvah upon the goel hadam to be the goel hadam. There's a mitzvah to be the goel hadam. The goel hadam has a mitzvah to act as goel hadam. And the pasuk says, goel hadam, hu yamis ha-sarotzeach. The goel hadam should be first and foremost in killing the rotzeach. Who is the goel hadam? V'kol ha-ro'i li-yerusha. Hu goel hadam. I'm going to say that again. V'kol ha-ro'i li-yerusha. Hu goel hadam. The person who is fit for inheritance is the goel hadam. And if the goel hadam does not want to kill the rotzeach, he's a pacifist, he doesn't want to get his hands bloody, whatever the case may be, then Beis Din steps in. Okay, so far so good. Now, halacha gimel. This we need to focus on carefully. Ha'av shaharag espino. Okay, we're going to use our personalities that we've been dealing with. Esav kills his son. Let's call his son Eliphaz. Im hoya la neherag ben, if Eliphaz has a son, we'll call him Teman, hare ze horeg avi aviv, then he can kill his grandfather. Teman is allowed to kill his grandfather. Why? Mipneshu goel, because he's the goel adam, so he's allowed to kill his grandfather. V'im ein lo ben, but if Eliphaz is murdered by Esav, and Eliphaz does not have a son, there is no Teman in the picture, Ein echad min ha'achim nase gol adam lahame says aviv. Another brother, Reuel, cannot be gol adam. Ela beiz memisno so. Rather, Bezdin will step in. So my question is, do you have a read? Can you tell me? Can you guess? Can you give me an insight? Is there a din? Is the Rambam following the position of Rashi, or is he following the position of Rabbeinu Hanan? Let's do the following. Everyone has to vote. Everyone has to vote just by a raise of hands. Who believes? And if you have no clue, then you don't have to vote. But if you have a clue, if you have a thought in any direction, who says he's holding like Rashi? Raise your hands.
Rabbi, I have a question. For the Yerusha, is that the Yerusha of the father or the person who the Rotseach?
No, the Nirtzach, the victim.
Okay,
who says he's like Rashi? One. Let's see, anyone else? Two. Three. Anyone else? Four. Very few. Wow. Okay. Who says like Rabbeinu Hanan? A few more. Okay. Let's start with Rashi. Will, why do you say it's like Rashi?
He says that he's reading that there's a situation where the guy can kill his grandfather in case you go. So it sounds like he's talking about the same case that Rashi brought up of the grandson and the grandfather.
Okay, Will, I agree with you 100%. He's bringing the exact case of Rashi. Rashi's case was, let me refresh your memories. According to Rashi, if Esav killed Eliphaz, the grandson is allowed to kill his grandfather. Why? Because there's no kibud ava aim to grandparents. That's exactly what the Rambam's case is. Esav kills his son. A grandson can go ahead and kill his grandfather. However, if Esav killed Reuel, then Eliphaz could not kill his father, because of Kibud Av HaEim. That's exactly what Rashi said. That seems to be what Rabbeinu Hananel says. And anyone who's raised their hand, a few of you, this precious few of you raised your hand for Rashi, you're in really, really good company. Really good company. Because none other than the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, the Kesef Mishnah, Rav Yosef Karo, 100% agrees. And I will show you as I share the screen. But before I do so, a bit of introduction. When it comes to, there's an Isser Doraisa, obviously, a person's not allowed to curse his parents. Chas v'shal. If a person curses his parents, there's a chiyuv misa for cursing your parents. There's also an Isser Doraisa to curse any Jew. And if you curse any Jew, there's a chiyuv malchus for cursing any Jew. Okay, here's my question. What is the din when chas v'shalom a person were to curse his grandparents? His grandparents. Is that like cursing one's parents, which means a chiyuv misa? Or is it like cursing another Jew, a mere onesh malchus? So the Rambam is explicit on this point, and the Rambam teaches us, this is found in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek He Halacha Gimel, V'chein HaMekalel Avi Aviv V'Avi Imo, if you curse your grandparent, your grandfather, Harei Zeh K'Mekalel Echad Mishar HaKohol, it's no different than cursing another Jew. What is the message that the Rambam is telling us in this halacha, apparently? what he's saying. Yeah, Will, what do you got?
The grandfather, with respect to the grandson, is just like every other person. He's not.
Right, meaning they don't stand in a unique relationship of kavod, and therefore, it's like anyone else. It's like any other member of the Jewish people. I don't have a unique relationship of kavod. That leads, if you look at the Kesef Mishnah over here, the Kesef Mishnah wants to know, where did the Rambam get this halacha from? It's never found in Shas. So the Kesef Mishnah brilliantly says, Nireh shelamad kein mimai de'isa b'makos, perek Eloi la'golin, and he quotes our sugya. And then he quotes Rashi in our sugya that a grandson is eino musar al kvodo. So basically, what the Kesef Mishnah just said, Rav Yosef Kara just said, is that the Rambam learnt this din, that a grandparent is no different than any other member of the Jewish people, from Makos David Beis, because, and Rashi there, and there's no mitzvah, keep it avim to grandparents, and that's all illustrative of this same concept. And that would be the position of the Rambam, and therefore the Rambam is seemingly, says Rav Yosef Karo, squarely in Rashi's camp. There's only one problem, and it's a big problem. It's actually more than one problem. Did the Rambam say word in Hilchos Rotseach about Kibbut Ava'im? Did he say word about Kibbut Ava'im to grandparents? Did he drop any clues whatsoever about what is the axis upon which the sugya revolves? He didn't say Kibbut Ava'im, that's for sure. He didn't say Kibbut Ava'im to grandparents, that's for sure. Were any clues dropped? Speak up. Anybody? Clues. I'll give you a clue.
He said that anyone who is Roi Lirusha is a Gol Adam.
He identifies who is the Yoresh. I'm sorry, who is the Gol Adam? The Gol Adam is the inheritor. So you need to know a little bit about Hilchos inheritance, and then you can plug that in to the laws of Gol Adam. So let's just spend a minute or two understanding that. A father dies. First in line for Yerusha are sons and their issue. Next in line are daughters and their issue. If there are no sons or daughters or offspring of sons or daughters, you go up a generation. The father is the Yoresh. If the father is not alive, then it goes to the sons and daughters of the father, which end up being the brothers and sisters of the deceased and their issue. If there's no brothers and sisters, no father, goes up another generation to grandfathers and the sons and daughters of grandfathers, which are essentially uncles and aunts. Did you get that? More or less. Okay, let's plug that into the Rambam for a second. Okay, I'm going to share the screen one last time. If you plug it into the Rambam one last second. So the Rambam says as follows. Remind me of the case. Will, remind me the Rambam's case, please. Esav killed Eliphaz. Can Teman be a Gol Adam? Yes. Why? 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 Because who is Eliphaz's inheritor? Who's his Yoresh?
Teman
is the Yoresh. That makes him the Gol Adam, and he can kill his grandfather. Has nothing to do with Kibbut Ava'im. It has to do with being the Gol Adam. Now, let's say Esav killed Reuel. Listen carefully. Who is the Goel Hadam? Who is Reuel's Yoresh?
Reuel has no kids.
Reuel has no kids.
Eliphaz.
No, not Eliphaz. There's someone else in play.
Esav.
Esav is the Goel Hadam. But that can't be, because Esav is also the Rotseach. So therefore, Bezdin is going to have to step in. But you can't have the Goel Adam being the Rotzeach. Eliphaz is not the Goel Adam because he's not the Yoresh. In that case, if Reuel is killed, Esav is the Yoresh, and Esav therefore is the Goel Adam. That's where Bezin steps in. That's what the Rambam is saying. Now let's plug that back into the Rabbeinu Hananel, please. What does Rabbeinu Hananel say? Back to the diagram. If Esav kills Taman, can Eliphaz kill his father Esav? Yes, he can. Why?
Because he's the inheritor.
Because we said the axis is the relationship between the Nirtzach, the deceased, and the Goel Adam. If Taman is killed, Eliphaz becomes the Yoresh. He can kill his own father. However, if Esav killed Reuel, then Eliphaz could not kill his own father. Why not? Because he's not a Yoresh. Who's Reuel's Yoresh?
Esav.
Exactly. And therefore, in my very, very humble opinion, I don't like to say this often, but I would take issue if I could. I would take the position that that the Rambam is not learning the sugi like Rashi. He's learning like Rabbeinu Hananel. And in that sense, I am perhaps not learning like the Kesef Mishnah, like Rav Yosef Karo's understanding of the Rambam, and is what it is. But that seems how I read this particular Rambam. Now, if I were just to recap, and now we're going to shift to the second part of the shiur, we're going to focus exclusively on Kibud Av to grandparents. We're done with Makos. Let's just review for a quick second. According to Rashi, is there a mitzvah Kibud Av to grandparents? Yes or no?
No.
According to the Rabbeinu Hananel, is there a mitzvah kibud av to grandparents? We don't know. Good. According to my vision of the Rambam, is there a mitzvah kibud av to grandparents? According to my vision.
No.
We don't know. He has not addressed.
Rambam. It makes it sound like there isn't, though.
The Rambam in Hilchos Mekalel, that could be a different halacha. It could be halacha that Mekal Aviv Imo has nothing to do with kibud av aim. If you curse your parents, if you curse your grandparents, they're not your parents. So that could have nothing to do with our topic. I don't think the Rambam is taking a position. Okay, so now let's get to any other sources in the lexicon of Shas, Poskim, and Chumash that address Kibud Av Ve'Eim. So the answer is there is. There's a very striking pasuk. It's a pasuk in Chumash in Parshas Vayigash. Yaakov Avinu is about to go down to Mitzrayim. And he's on his way down to Mitzrayim. He stops in Be'er Sheva and he realizes, I'm about to go down to Mitzrayim to get food, to be reunited with Yosef, but this is not going to be just like a two-week vacation. This looks like it's going to be the beginning of a long period of Golus, where B'nai Yisrael, the Bris Ben Abasarim, is going to be fulfilled. So he's about to go down. When he hits Be'er Sheva, the southern border of Eretz Yisrael, he brings Karbanos. And the Pasuk says, Vayizvach Zvachim, he brings Karbanos le'elokei avi Yitzchak. He brings Karbanos to the God of his father, Yitzchak. And Rashi, based on the Medrash, is bothered. Usually, Yaakov refers to elokei avi Avraham ve'elokei avi Yitzchak. For example, when he fights the Sorrow Shel Esav in Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Yud, he davens to Hashem there as well. And there, when he davens to Hashem, the Torah tells him, sorry, Lamed Beis Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Yaakov Elokei Avi Avraham Velokei Avi Yitzchak. There it says Avraham and Yitzchak. Over here, when it comes to the Karbanos he's bringing to Hashem, it's Elokei Avi Yitzchak. Comes on Rashi with a stunning comment, and Rashi says, what do you see from this Pasuk? It's coming to teach me. Avram's omission in the Pasuk teaches me that Chayev Adam Bichvod Aviv Yoter Michvod Zekeno. A person has a greater obligation of kavod to his father than to his grandfather. Lefichach tala beYitzchak velo beAvraham. Therefore, the pasuk mentions Yitzchak and not Avram to teach me a halacha that what? That your obligation to your father is greater than your obligation to your grandfather. That's why it says Elokei Avi Yitzchak, and it doesn't mention this time Avraham. That's interesting on many levels. First of all, so what does it mean? What it means, at least on a simplistic level, is if your father asks you to bring him slippers and your grandfather asks you to bring him slippers, on a basic, simple level, it seems to mean that you get your father's first. You get your father's first, even though that seems to be a little off. That's, you have a greater chiv to your father than to your grandfather. Is that totally shocking? It's not totally shocking. Why is it not totally shocking?
There's something in the parable.
Forget Rashi. Because I have a pasuk in the Chumash that says, Kabedis avicha vesimecha. Do I have a pasuk in the Chumash that says, Kabedis saba vesavta? I just don't have that pasuk. So that would just highlight something. Okay, so that's fine. But a little deeper. Rabosai, is there a mitzvah according to Rashi in Chumash of kibud av to your grandparents? Yehuda Pinsker? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. For sure there is. Just, it's a lesser chiv than to your parents. But there's a chiv. For sure there's a chiv. That's what Rashi clearly says. Okay, good. Good, good. Wait a second. But what did Rashi say in the Gemara in Maseches Makos? Is there a mitzvah to grandparents? Rashi said there, Eino musar al kvodo. You're not commanded in kavod to your grandparents. So it looks like there's a contradiction between Rashi ala Torah and Rashi ala Gemara, authored by the same exact person, and it looks like a stira. Now you'll tell me, maybe you'll tell me, ah, come on, Rashi in Chumash is not a halacha sefer. How can you compare? He's just quoting. Well, I'm going to share my screen, I promise, one last time. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. But if I look at the Shulchan Aruch and how we paskin, we'll see something amazing. The Mechaber in Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em, Resh Mem Halacha Chav Dalid, the Mechaber tells us, the Ramah actually tells us. We'll start with what the Shulchan Aruch says. Important for us married folks. Chayiv Adam L'Chaber Chamav. You have to have respect for your in-laws. Very, very important. Okay. Then he says, Haga, Ramah says, Yesh Omrin, De'ein Adam Chayiv Bechvod Avi Aviv. There are those who say there's no chiv kavod to your grandfather. If I were to ask you, quote me the source for that, what would you quote?
Rashi in the Gemara.
Right. And if you look at the Bir HaGra right over here, the Bir HaGra in classic style. Look what he does. He just writes as if you know exactly what he's talking about. He quotes on this halach. He says, Makos, Yud Beis Amar Aleph, Lo Kasha, Habib No, Ein Rashi Shom. Wow. And from there you know exactly what he's talking about. Indeed, there's no chiv kavod. That's one yeshom in the Ramah. Then the Ramah says, Ve'eno nireli. I disagree. Ella, rather, Dechai bichvod aviv, yoter vod avi aviv, V'raya mimidrash kabe vayizbach zvachim, bereshes man vav, pasuk alf. So what did the Ramah just do? He quoted Rashi in the Gemara, that says there's no chiv kavod avaim based on our Gemara, Makos David Beis. Then he says, Eino nirali, I disagree. Rather, there is a chiv kavod, albeit it's a lower level chiv than you have to your parents. And what's the source for that? Medrash kabe vayizbak zvachim, breishes mem vav, pasuk aleph, ayin rashi shah. So the Ramah quotes both positions, and he says the Psak Halacha is like what we see in Chumash, Rashi in Chumash. And what I'm left with is a very serious quandary. It seems like Rashi contradicts himself. Rashi in the Gemara says there's no Chiv Kavod. Rashi in Chumash says there is. Number one. Number two, second quandary. What's the source of kibud av va'em to grandparents? Because if there is a source, then maybe it should be on the same level or even greater level than to parents. And if there's no source, then why is there a chiv kavod whatsoever? Like, where does it come from? What's the source? And how do we resolve this contradiction? Rashi in Chumash versus Rashi in the Gemara. So there's a number of different approaches. Leibel, you want to say something?
I mean, can you just also use common sense by saying, listen, if my father has to have respect for his father and I need to have respect for my father, shouldn't I also need to have respect for my grandfather, for his father?
Okay, great, great. Love it. Excellent. I would say that's more than common sense. But I'm going to come to Leibel's comment in a second. Before that, Yehuda, what do you want to say?
It's kind of like a backwards source, but in Bereishis, in Rashi brings down that the day that Avram died with the lentil soup is the day that Esau went off the derech. So is that kind of like a backwards kibud coming to his grandfather?
I don't think so, but let's suggest, let me, because it's getting a little late, I want to just push a couple of ideas. I'm going to push a couple of ideas. Isaac, you'll bear with me, Isaac. The idea I want to get to is Leibel's idea, but before I get to that idea, one simple pshat you might argue is that why is it that there's no chiv of kibud in Rashi's Enemus HaKvodo? What was Rashi's case again? Remind me the case. Esav kills who? Esav killed.
Kills his son Eliphaz.
Killed.
Eliphaz's son can kill his own grandfather.
Okay, so maybe Dafka there, specifically in that case, where Esav kills Eliphaz. By me avenging my father's blood, that's already a kiyum of kibud av. And kibud av overrides kibud saba. So in that case specifically, Eino Musar al Kvodo, when the grandfather, Esav, killed Eliphaz, and now Teman, as Goel Adam, is avenging his father's blood, so maybe specifically in that case, says Rashi, Eino Musar al Kvodo, but after all, covet to my father is greater than covet to the grandfather, but in general, of course, there's a chiv kava to grandparents, except when it's in clash with the chiv kava to a parent. That might be one resolution. But I would like to go with the resolution. I'd like to go in Leibel's direction. And Leibel wants to introduce to us a yesod, which I think is more than common sense. It is common, and it is sensical, but I think it's a little deeper than that. Leibel's introducing for us the idea that I'm going to call the transitive property, I think it's called the transitive property, of kibud av va'em. The transitive property of kibud av va'em. What I mean by the transitive property of kibud av va'em, if I have a chiv to my father, and my father has a chiv to his father, then memela, I have a chiv to my grandfather. In other words, I have a chiv to anyone who my father has an obligation towards. One second. Avi, 1 second. If that's true, I understand a couple of things. Number one, I understand why is there a greater chiv kava to my parent than to my grandparent? Because my chiv to my grandparent is a conduit chiv, is a chiv that runs through my parent. It's because of my parent's chiv that I have a chiv. It's not direct, it's indirect. And therefore, my chiv to my parent is greater. Comes along the following chiddush then. And this is a very, very profound chiddush. I would not apply this lahalacha at all, but it's very fascinating. And that is, let's say, in our case, in Rashi's case in the Gemara, let's say Esav killed Eliphaz. What now has been severed? What has been broken? The conduit has Taman been broken. If Taman's chiv to his grandfather is a function of, runs through, Eliphaz's chiv to Esav, so once the conduit has been severed, Now the chiyuv to the grandparents has been severed. What comes out then is a big chiddush, is that if the father predeceases his the grandfather, that breaks the chiyuv kavod grandfather to grandfather, grandson to grandfather, and that's what happened in the Gemara Maseches Makos. That's going to help us with a number of additional points. And I'm going to finish this up quickly now. We're going to go quick. But point number one is interesting. Rabosai, does Yaakov Avinu ever refer to Hashem as the God of his father, Avraham and Yitzchak? Or only the God of his father, Yitzchak? So in Vayishlach, he refers to Hashem as Elokei Avi Avraham veElokei Avi Yitzchak. In Vayigash, it's only Elokei Avi Yitzchak. What changed? Why the difference? I'll tell you what changed. What changed was Yitzchak died in the interim. Yitzchak dies between Vayishlach and Vayigash. Once Yitzchak dies, then what else disappears? What else gets severed? At that point, the relationship to Avram gets severed. That's why in Vayigash, it doesn't say Elokei Avi Avram. It only says so in Vayishlach. That's an interesting point. I'm going to quickly share my screen for one last additional point. There's a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. And the Gemara says in Maseches Ksuvos the following. When Rebbe died, it's Ksuvos Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph. When Rebbe died, as he's about to die, he brings all of his kids together. And he says, Hizharu bikvod imchem. Please be careful about having kavod for your mother. And the Gemara says, make sure she's fully taken care of. And the Gemara says, Rebbe had to instruct his sons to be careful about kibud avim doraisa. That's a din doraisa. Diksiv kabed es avicha es imecha. So the Gemara says, no. It wasn't their mother. It was their stepmother. His wife. His wife, but not their mother. So the Gemara says, really? But Eishes Av, my father's wife, my stepmother, Nami Doraisa. Because the Pasuk says, Kabedes Avicha ve'esimecha, Es Avicha. The Es Avicha teaches me that I have to respect Eishes Avicha. And Esimecha is Baal Imecha. So the Gemara is bothered. Why did Rebbe have to bring his kids in to go ahead and get them to respect their mother? No, they're chayv min haTorah. Of course they're going to do that. Stepmother? Of course they're going to do that. So you know what the Gemara says at the end? Stepmother, he wanted to make sure that even after he died, they would respect the stepmother. What's the idea? So perhaps the idea is my obligation to respect my stepmother is a function of my chiv kibur av. So now I have a chiv kibur av. Now my father's a chiv to his wife. That generates a conduit chiv to his wife, to my stepmother. In the very, very same way, why does a son-in-law have to respect his in-laws? What's the source for that? So perhaps it's the very same idea. Is that kabed as I have an obligation to my wife. She in turn has an obligation to her parents. That sets up a relationship to my in-laws as well. One last point, and then we will stop, and I'll just tie this into Shavuos for a second. One last point, and that's as follows. It's a very interesting Gemara, which might, at first blush, have something to do with this discussion. Might. And it goes like this. If a father and a mother both ask a child to do something for them, the father asks and the mother asks, so who does the son have to respond to first? The father is correct. Why? Because the halacha is that when it comes to certain acts of service, so the wife has to do for the husband. So in that sense, the son has an obligation to the husband, but the wife to the father, but the wife also has to the husband. And therefore, because the wife also has to the husband and the son has to the father, that creates a priority to the father. if you take that logic, which the Gemara has, so then back to my case, if a father asks for something of a son, and a grandfather asks of a grandson, l'chora, who should the father, who should the son take care of? What? L'chora, it should be the grandfather. Why? Because the son has to his father, and the father has to his, I'm sorry, the son has, one more time, the father has to his father, to the grandfather, and the son has to the grandfather, so certainly the grandfather should be prioritized. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says the chiv to the father is greater than the chiv to the grandfather. What's the answer to that question? I'll tell you the answer to the question. The answer to the question is, when it comes to the case of the mother and the father, my obligation, the son's obligation to the dad is direct. The wife's obligation to her husband is direct. And therefore, the husband father is first. When it comes, however, to the son, to his father, and then the son to his grandfather, the whole chiyuv to the grandfather is indirect, is via the chiyuv to the father. And hence, the father would be prioritized. Bottom line, all this shir, this entire shir, is, in my opinion, interesting, fascinating on a Gemara Makas level, on a halachic level, on a lumdisha level. However, it is lo lamaisa. When I say lo lamaisa, everything I said today was true, but it should not be practiced. In a healthy and good family structure, grandparents are absolutely prioritized. Great-grandparents, even more prioritized, even though the chiv to them is even more attenuated. We prioritize, I'm part of the grandfather club, so we certainly prioritize grandparents, and they, in a healthy family structure, the father tells the kids, take care of Zadie, take care of Bubby, take care of the grandparents. That's for sure the case. That's for sure the Hashkafas HaTorah. But on a purely halachic analysis level, I think this is continues to be the truth. But we should also make sure that when we, you know, again, there are areas of halacha that are halacha below the maisa. And as I say, when you apply the strictures of halacha, you need psukim, you need sources. The source for grandparents, l'chora, is this transitive idea. There are those who argue and suggest, and perhaps this is noged to Chag HaShavuos, is there is a chiv of a grandfather to teach his grandchildren Torah, and bnei banim hareim kabanim, grandkids are like your kids, but on a purely halachic level, I think there is still a distinction. Okay, I'm stopping here. Sorry for going a little over time. My shears are all used to that. What a wonderful, wonderful day, and please feel free to linger and hang out.